This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. You're listening to the Funny Mummies podcast, brackets, also part of the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. We are carrying on because we love them and we think you need them with our mini pod sessions. I am Hattie Ashdown and my co-wing woman, who's also in stripes today, is...
It's me. It's Gemma Beakley.
It's only Gemma Beakley.
Stripes, in stripes.
Last time we were both wearing black. Oh... That's fascinating. I feel like 1,000 people have now switched off.
It's not a strong opener.
No, it's not tight. It's not a strong opener. But we're easing people in. We don't want people to wet themselves too soon. So today we're going to talk about one of my favourite subjects today. So it's a combination of talking about Married at First Sight,
hey.
UK / general wedding chat, really. This is the UK one. The good thing about this, by the time this comes out, it won't be any spoilers because we'll just talk about, obviously, what we see. Well, we're saying which ones we've seen and general wedding chat. Some people will know. If they follow me on Instagram, at Hattie Ashdown, I love the Australian Married at First Sight. And the previous Married at First Sight UK was nothing like the Australian one. And basically... I think it's very clear what's happened is they've watched the success of the Australian one and gone,
right,
we need to drum it up a bit.
So we've two relationship coaches, therapist type people, and a sex.
They're meant to be two relationship experts and then one therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a relationship and sex therapist.
Yeah, great.
So you've never seen it before, Gemma.
I've never seen it before.
I've drawn her in. I said, come on the ride.
Well, given I've just finished Love Island and it's just like, okay, I get my evenings back now, and then you hit me with something that's on every, like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I have caught up.
Ooh.
I managed to catch up in so that I can start trying to watch it every day. I mean,
what?
I'm hooked.
You're in. Oh, she's in. Hooray.
And you know what? I enjoy awkwardness. I enjoy cringe, right? When I'm watching comedy, I enjoy, you know, I love The Office. But actually, this isn't comedic cringe. This is real life cringe. And the nerves that I'm getting as people just before, you know, waiting for the bride to turn up. And I'm just like, oh God, these two are not matched at all. What have they done?
Well, just as you said that, or even just before the groom's got there and the two families are there.
Yeah.
And if they don't, if one of them doesn't introduce to each other, they're just sat there like,
yeah.
Oh, please just someone say hello. And then sometimes the groom will then come. So if people who've not watched it, the groom will then turn up first. And the thing you want the groom to do is to look to the other side because they've done it very traditional. They've done bride side, groom side, of course. I want to be really confusing. And they look around, you just want them to go, hello, you know, I'm Bob, or whatever.
And sometimes they do. Sometimes they do.
But sometimes they don't. So then there's this deathly silence.
Oh,
and it's just like, oh, no. And you can just see these, like, dads that or mums sitting there going, well, don't I look at them because it's not so law, you know.
Yeah. There's been a few of those. So I guess the first was the first one with the, I've forgotten their names now, Nikita.
Yeah,
and I can't remember his name, but his
something like Ant, I think.
Yes, so his father seems quite prim and proper.
Yeah,
and she is not prim and proper, nor her family. And straight away, some of his friends were like, "Oh gosh, this is not going to work out." So that was the first one, and then the one that I watched the last episode where you've got this woman, 34 years old, a 26-year-old guy, And she, her, a big element of her life is that she's into spirituality and sort of mysterious stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that every single time he's on the screen, he's saying, I don't really, I'm not really into any of this spiritual stuff at all. I don't understand. I'm not into it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so how have you matched, like, in what universe, in what cosmiverse do these people get on? I think it's
Don't you just think that's TV editing as well?
Well, of course there is TV editing as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, who wants to watch eight couples who get on? I don't.
Rob and Megan, sorry, that's who I thought you were talking about. What do you think about the physical side of things? Because she was like, I don't want to share a bed. Now, I don't know what your opinion is about sharing the bed on the first night sort of thing. But then what she then did do, she said, I want to pull things back a little. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it really broke. You could feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever you might think about him, because he's like an excited Labrador. I love him.
Okay. But I'd call him a little bit too keen/desperate. Nice guy, but he would annoy me. It'd be like, all right, it's just
which is why she's done that.
Yeah.
But as a general married at first sight observation, I would say that someone else said it, where you have to be so careful you don't then put someone in the friend zone.
Yes.
And because you might go, oh, but I've only just met you. But everything's speeded up in there because they're spending so much time together.
Yeah,
it's the equivalent of them having like six dates just by the first night, you know?
Yes, right. That's a good point. So actually, this isn't, let's see if we get on. This is like, you need to get on because you're married now.
Yes.
So let's just get to it. Yeah. I guess that, yeah, look, I don't hold hope for them much. No. As opposed to the one with the lovely guy who runs the children's home and her with the dead father.
And again, she said, we're going to go into a friend zone if you keep holding back.
But they had this conversation about it, and it was a two-way conversation. Nobody had really made up their mind. But I think that there was...
Morag, that's it.
Morag, yeah. So there was stuff from the start, whereas Bob and... Megan?
Yeah.
Bob and Megan, there's something missing there, whereas I think Morag and the Welsh guy
there's
potential there for sure. And they just seem to be talking more positively. I don't hold much hope for Bob. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, I think she's not had any relationships before, did she, the Megan?
That's right,
I think that she's maybe got this princess idea of guys and relationships, and I have to say she reminds me of someone I know where no one's ever going to match up in a way.
Was she the one? Is she the one with the twin brother?
Yeah, I think so.
And he was. I didn't kid on him. I thought he was just a little bit.
Twin brother. But again, could be, for those that don't know, that could be producers going, could you take him side?
Yeah.
They need that kind of drama in it, otherwise it's all a bit boring. But
I'm bored by the gay couple already. They're bored, they get on, I don't care.
It's always the way. There's the ones that get on are so boring. Oh no, but I love them.
I love them, good for you, but I don't want to see is a journey. Straight away are like, yeah, okay, I'll move to Northern Ireland, I can do that, it's fine. You know, it's just kind of, I don't know.
I don't think he was like, yeah, I would move. He was like, oh, okay, that's a big...
I think he would. He is very... The older guy is keen.
Do you think?
Yeah. Oh. He just wants to settle. And I think that he is willing to forego himself for the beautiful long heart. Well,
he is beautiful.
Beautiful.
He is beautiful, and my God, it was one of my favourite kisses. Their kiss was like, woo!
He's quite intense. He's the lovely chubby
Daniel. Oh, Daniel's the young guy. And Matt is the older. He's not chubby.
I don't mean that as an insult. I love a chub. I love a chubby guy.
So I haven't really got much to say about Joshua, that's who you were talking about, Joshua and Amy. Amy's the one who's saying I'm really into my horoscopes and stuff, and oh, that's a really bad match.
It is, like, but she, and also she's had, like, her story, her recent history, there's a lot of heartbreak there, and
it's the baby thing and everything.
The baby, the twins and all this, and it's just like, I just don't know if...
You're ready for this show.
Yeah, and so why put someone with, like, just, it's just like... Literally, the gay guys are a better match for her.
Just not, she's getting someone really sensitive. But they honestly, this is what they do in Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
I've seen it before, Jem.
Right,
they could be holding stuff back about him. It's the way they're editing it as well.
Yeah.
He could suddenly turn around. That's why you're. Yeah, there might be some shocks to come along.
And Mr. Army guy, why did your marriage break up? I wonder, is it because you are horrible? Is it because you hate women?
You know what he's got as well? I think he's got no sense of humour. He doesn't understand humour at all.
No, he doesn't. His speech. Oh, God.
No wonder his mum was over the moon. She was like... so yes, for anyone that's not watched it, in case this is, I don't know if this is putting anyone off or on, I'm not sure. So there's a guy, these are the older couple, they always have the kind of older section. So Marilise and
great name.
Marilise, yeah. I don't know what his name is.
She's got two kids. She's got two boys, isn't she? 15 and 12.
Frankie, that's his name.
Frankie, yeah. From Pontefract.
And she's all enthusiastic and up for it, and like, yeah, but he's just, well, what did he say? One of these things about the women, you know, something about I'm all for equality, but basically I run things or something.
Well, he was like, I'm happy for the house to be run by my wife, but when it comes to everything else, I want to be in charge. Which, it's only because of, if it was the other way around, a woman saying, you know, I want to be in charge. You know, I I'm not really bothered about that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to see what happens. I mean, the Nikita woman is just...
Well, she's awful. And for those who've watched Married at First Sight Australia, I just say the name Innes, they will know. There's always one Innes. But the thing I'm not sure about so far is Innes in Married at First Sight, if anyone wants to go back and watch it, series 4, I think it was, everyone was like, I hate her. I was like, I bloody love her because she was so bad. She was like, you couldn't write this character. Like, if I wrote this character, you go, no, someone can't be that awful. When she was walking up the aisle and she got to the top of the aisle and her groom's there, this is the Australian one I'm telling you first, she looked at him and she went, she pointed to his, he had an eyebrow pierce, and she went, that's got to go.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
And so Nikita had a similar, where she got in a fluster with her vow, and so the opening words to her husband-to-be was, fucking hell, I don't know what's fucking going on here.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay.
And then it was all about, oh, I need a drink, and all like this, and you're just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's not making... I'm just cringing at her. I'm not laughing quite yet. Well,
she's now an archetypal reality TV character in that you get these very, like, attacky, cranky, you know, turn on a sixpence, temper women mainly, because you can't have men like that on TV. But women, and every single reality TV show seems to have someone like that. It's like,
that kind of like, I'm not standing up for this kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just joking. What? So every time someone takes offence at what you say, you're just saying you're joking, and that kind of gaslighty sort of.
But, yes, so, but, she, so she can say
they're like, the baddie. It's a baddie, isn't it? It's a pantomime.
Yeah, as long as she says I'm joking, then she's sort of like, oh, it's just my banter, isn't it? It's just my banter.
It's just my banter. Yeah.
And
that's some face, isn't it? So she's let me get this right. So she's probably had the fat cut out of her tummy and injected into her face and her ass. That I think that's what seems to have happened. Well, so we've had weddings. I've been watching weddings all week. Mm. And I was at a wedding a few weeks ago. I went to my first gay or same-sex wedding. As my mum said, all weddings are gay. So actually, you know, it's just a super, super gay wedding. So it was the first wedding I've been to in ages, and I just had the best time. Other people's weddings are brilliant. I love the wedding. Now, this especially, so it was a gay wedding. It was in Scotland. Everyone was in the full kilts and all that. It was brilliant. We had a piper. And bagpipes, yeah. And it was about the food. It was absolutely fantastic. I just had other people's weddings are brilliant. Your own wedding, I think, generally is 97% hell and 3% just waiting for photos to be taken. That's what I think.
Gemma, now, is this because, obviously, I don't even know if we've talked about that your recent divorce has come through, or are you honestly just saying this from a point of view of that you are the sort of person that doesn't like a do where it's always on you, or also hosting something where you have to be on high alert?
Yes.
I think people fall into that bracket. I know who haven't got married and went off, just the two of them, because they were like, we want to get married, but we don't want to do because of the stress of being on high alert. You can't relax. And that was, all eyes on them.
That was my ex-husband and I. That's what we did, yeah. Because I said it about other people's wedding, because if you ever sort of, you'll catch a bride off guard and you will see that they are just kind of looking and saying, oh, hang on, I know that I've paid £250 to have five of us on the back of chairs and they're not quite there, or, you know, why someone, right, so we're actually having wine at dinner, we're not drinking pints of bitter, so why are people going to the bar and buying pints of bitter at my wedding? You know, I can just, so I spend a lot of time there looking at the bride and just seeing her dissatisfaction.
You've never been to a wedding and seen a bride that looks really relaxed?
Oh, no, forget it, unless it's later when they get pissed, but yeah. Yeah.
You should have come to my wedding. We didn't really know each other then. That's so sad.
No.
People still talk about now how great our wedding was.
Because it's other people's wedding, Hattie.
Yeah. But I will admit, I probably had a few of those moments where I probably was a bit, I wouldn't say stressed, because I was very stressed in the arrangement of the wedding.
Yes, that's what I mean by 97%. Because I'm not just talking about the wedding, I'm talking about the arrangement, everything.
But then when the day came, something in me just went, I don't care now. This is, I've done my bit. You know, I've directed the play, I've written the play, it's now out of my hands.
Yeah.
And my friend gave me very good advice when he said, he's a man and he was marrying a woman, but he organised a lot of his wedding, which is quite unusual thing. Mm-hmm. But he said, I looked at it like, because we're in college together, he was like, I looked at it like when I'm putting on a play. Like, how is it, what's going to be everyone's step of the way? And I really loved that, because I am a bit of a control freak, and I've been at weddings before, and I'm like, well, what are we meant to be doing now? No one's told us anything. What, you know, where are we meant to go? We've got no one. So I sort of love, even though I got stressed out, I did love all the organisation. But I would say there was a few times in the evening where, like, people were all outside and they were missing some of the entertainment that we'd got on, and I was a bit annoyed at that. You know, so it was little things like that. But generally, you know me, everyone had a bloody role. I had an MC for my wedding, for Christ's sake, you know, to tell.
I think that's a great idea. I think every wedding should have an MC.
But I have seen, I like to think I wasn't, because honestly, I was so bereft after our wedding, because I was like, that was the greatest day. I wish we could just do it all again. I was so sad. But I do really enjoy other people's weddings for that same reason, that there is absolutely no stress. However, I have not enjoyed weddings because of, like, I don't know, like, okay, so where are we meant to sit? Or
what are we doing? What's happening?
Yeah, badly organised.
What's happening now? Where do we go now? How do we get from There's about 50 people. No one's driving because we're all going to get drunk later. So how do we get from here to the place 5 miles away? How are we doing that? Yeah.
And again, that's just through someone not thinking through each step of the day. You know, I've had one where we were like, we did not know how we were going to get to the reception venue. And I think they just had thought everyone would, I don't want to say because in case this person listens. And it all worked out fine. But it was abroad. So it was like, okay, I think like not everyone fit on the coach or something. I can't remember the thing. But it all worked out. And it's all fun at the fair. But
The bit of wedding that I always dislike is where the bride and groom go off to have photographs in the forest or whatever.
Yes, by the river.
And so sometimes that can be hours. Now, for someone like me who doesn't drink, all I'm doing is standing in uncomfortable shoes, usually on some kind of terrace, watching people get drunk, starving, and being absolutely starving hungry. So that's the bit I don't enjoy.
I'm with you. And one wedding, well, you'd love my wedding because we didn't have that. But before I get to what we did instead of that, my friend, I had that, and we were all waiting and we're starving hungry. And my friend's going, I'm going to go and get a bag of nuts because I'm starving hungry. Yeah, and I was going, don't spoil your dinner. And it went on and on and on and on until suddenly a helicopter came. I shouldn't laugh. But her granddad had collapsed, but no one had, communicated. Right. We just thought the photos were taking a long time. Her granddad ended up getting airlifted. I'm laughing because he was okay. I think he'd had a suspected heart attack or something. But we were just sat there starving for ages. And of course, they couldn't carry things on. But eventually they told us, and then we all come in and had the bloody pig roast or whatever. Hog roast. So I'm vegetarian, so quiche for me.
Yeah, well, no, it's, quite.
Oh, yeah, it's always a quiche.
Yeah, so I guess you have the disability of being a vegetarian, I have the disability of being a non-drinker. Both of it's not catered for very well at weddings.
And they always just make you feel like a bit of a leopard.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm vegetarian. And then they get angry with you. I've heard it before, they come out because they have to come out specifically for your dish. And you go, oh, have you got another vegetarian one? Oh, a minute, let me go and check. And then they come back. They go, we weren't told there were 5 vegetarians. You know, oh, God, and it's right, I just have the potatoes, it's mine. Yeah,
just bring me a piece of bread, it's fine.
But my wedding, funny enough, you say about the stress, that was one bit where after the ceremony bit, the official bit, we were on lovely ground, and we did debate about getting an ice cream van or whatever it is people do to entertain the people while we're having photos. But we went, look, we won't have many photos at the chapel. We'll do more. So what we did was we hardly had any, and then people didn't have that long to wait. But I was so conscious of that because I've hated that. Mm. That I don't think my face looks very good in the photos because I'm thinking, we've got to get people on the bus. So then we got people on the bus. We got to the reception venue. And when we got there and they'd got their drink and there was nibbles and stuff, then we had some more photos. Oh, in fact, I think we did the photos after the dinner, so they were fed and stuff because of that reason. But also I had the sort of photography where I said, just snap us as we're going around. I didn't want to do that standing around business. And great tip for anyone, I got my brother-in-law to be photographer assistant, as it were. Like, I gave him a list of all the photos that I want. So he was brilliant. He was going, I want all the brides, best mates, or whatever, right?
Siblings only.
Because otherwise it's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
But, yes, I do love a wedding. And so to round things off a little bit then. So if you get an invitation and it's like going abroad or going somewhere quite far, do you think, great excuse to have a bit of away time, or do you think, oh God, I've got to pay out all this money?
Well, no, I think it's a real privilege to be invited to someone's wedding. Like, I really think that. So yeah, I would do what I could to get there. Yeah,
I me too. My husband's younger than me. He's still got friends getting married.
Yeah.
I don't think, other than that, it'll be me looking out for my nieces and nephews, people like that that might get married. But doesn't look like anything on the horizon at the moment, but you never know. But yes, I do love a bloody wedding. And I've been bridesmaid 5 times, just to let you all know.
So you're getting bridesmaid material, aren't you? See, I'm not. I'm not happy enough. I'm not happy like you. I ruined photos. Now, getting back to being a parent at weddings. So, how do you feel about the old
can't bring your kids?
How do you feel about that? Because for me, it really splits down a room. I'm all for it. I'm just like, leave the kids at home. And also, it's that thing of, do you know what? It's their wedding. They can buy dinner for whoever they want to. You know, I eat actually, and there's been times where Al's been invited, and I've said, I'm gonna leave them at home. Thanks.
Here's my thing. I think if you've got a tiny, tiny baby, how could you?
Yeah, if you're breastfeeding, that's ridiculous. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that if I did, and we very, very nearly made it a no kids. But then when we actually looked at how many kids would actually come, we were like, it's not that many. And there were certain people that they literally have no one to look after them. Mm. Like everyone that could look after them would be coming to the wedding. So we were like, it's fine. And I've gone to a wedding with Buster as a tiny baby, and it wasn't a no children thing, but I didn't want to, like you said, I didn't want to take Huxley. So I got his grandma to look after him, and I took Buster because he was a tiny baby and I was breastfeeding, and he was in a pram at the back of the dance floor.
Yeah.
And he slept through it. It's a difficult one because, yeah, at this age, if someone invited us, I think I'd do what I could to... Even if it said they could come, I'd say, let's try and get someone to look after them. Mm-hmm. Because there is no, we would have no fun with them.
No, but you can't have a drink. Or one of you's got, stay a bit compensated. Then you're arguing over who's looking after the kids, who's putting them to bed and all that. Nah.
I mean, the dream is to be able to pay for, I said, I wish, I really, really looked at money to pay for somebody, because this is what you can do now. It's like a children's, like a creche type nanny. Yeah. It was actually because there was a separate room in our wedding reception venue, and I thought, you know, they could take the kids off there, entertain them and stuff like that. I mean, that's the dream. That's what some people do. So that it also gives the parents a break. But it's not very funny, but I agree with you. Mm. So we're on agreeance with that. And on that note, we better wrap up.
Right.
So let us know if you're enjoying Married at First Sight or not, and who are your favourite couples. And if you want, we might even just keep doing them on Married at First Sight. I don't know. We'll see. We hope you're all doing really, really well. I don't always remember to mention this, but if you do want to support us, you can support us. Go to the writing underneath this. I've been Hattie Ashdown.
I've been Jimmy Beagley.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of The Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.